Thank you so much, Pastor. When Pastor Francis asked me to share my testimony, I was so nervous because he thought, yeah, I won't be preaching that day. You take over. And I'm like, I don't know what to do about that. But there's actually so much to say because the Lord has been just so good. It doesn't end. His goodness in my life, in our lives, I know for sure. So may the Lord bless, may it be a blessing to you what I'm about to share, and may only the Lord be praised and glorified. I also just wanna take this opportunity to first thank you, Church. I know you have been praying for my family. You know, our name's always in the bulletin, and I to everyone who's been praying for my family, thank you so much. I have a sister who was diagnosed with f functional neurological disorder. So all of a sudden, she is not able to walk. Like, she has uncontrolled neurological symptoms. And we've just been praying for her. The doctors don't really know much about functional neurological disorder, but I praise the Lord. I thank you for covering us in prayer. My sister can walk a little bit now, without the aid of a walker. Her endurance is still not quite there, so she could probably walk like a short distance on her own. But I know that the Lord will continue to help her and heal her. But please continue to pray for her. She's not a believer. Continue to pray for her complete healing in spirit. I just want to take this opportunity to greet all the mothers. Happy Mother's Day. You know, me standing here right now is a testimony, is it testifies the goodness of the Lord, because my mom has gone through so much with me. Like, I've just been having so much surgeries growing up. I can remember, you know, the first one, I've had like nine, and the very first one was when I was 12 years old, and it came all of a sudden. It was back in the Philippines. You know, all of a sudden I had to do this major stomach surgery, and my mom and my dad, they were perplexed about that. But I remember after the surgery, my mom, like, it's so even going like that is painful. So going to the washroom is very hard, and she's right there, right beside me, and would assist me. And I will not forget, I was going to the washroom, and I hear her like crying, and I'm like, "What's wrong, Mom?" And she's like, "I wish I got the surgery instead of you." You know, she was just like that. And I've had several other surgeries. When I had my big spinal surgery, she was after that, she was feeding me using a teaspoon. She's so patient. And I just remember when I was small, a small child, I'm Filipino, but my frame is not Filipino. I've always been the biggest in our class, so I've always been like bullied and stuff. But I know when my mom is around me, I'm secured, I'm safe. So I would just cling onto her legs, and I know I'm secure. And up to now that I'm old, I know I'm secure because my mom covers me in prayer. So this is true for my dad too, but dad, it's Mother's Day, so sorry. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you so much. God bless you. Today I just want to testify to you all about the goodness and the presence and the favor and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the believer. Like Pastor said, I have shared testimony a couple of times before. Some of you are aware of, you know, the challenges that I've had to go through. I've had, you know, like that spinal surgery, failed marriage, cancer surgery. So I'll just be telling you stories today of his presence in my life. I think one of the ones, the main one of the things that I was so sure the Lord was really covering me and protecting me was, I had a 9-level spinal surgery. My neck is actually all propped up by titanium up to my lower back. So it's a big surgery, and the because of how big it was, the doctor nicked my dura, which is the covering of the spinal cord, and they performed a duraplasty. But if you know how thin a dura covering is, and just a little tiny bit, like millimeter, maybe like really, really tiny nick into the cord, I would have been paralyzed. But the Lord protected me from that. Well, I was on in the hospital there, and I could not move at all. I couldn't even press the call button. My family never left me. I think it was my sister. Yes, it was my sister. She was my personal nurse. It was my sister who was beside me in the hospital. And I, while laying there, couldn't move. I felt I'm really wet, like my back is really wet. So I told her, "Carissa, I think I'm bleeding. I'm pretty sure I'm bleeding because it's really wet." And she looked just like, "No, you're not bleeding, ate." At the older sister, "No, you're not bleeding. You're fine. I don't see anything. No, some it's I'm wet." And so she called the nurse, and it was apparently my cerebrospinal fluid leaking out. And if my sister was not there, I couldn't move. It would have drained my spinal fluid. But you know, again, the Lord blessed me with a family that has been just so supportive and kind and so loving to me. Oh, that's why I can't see. I'm not wearing this. Okay. I also wanted to talk about that time when I had all of a sudden had to go through appendectomy, and it was COVID time. Nobody can go with me in the hospital. So I went alone, and they had to perform emergency surgery. But because of my spine surgery, my neck is propped up by titanium rod. There's no movement, and I can't, it's hard to intubate me. So the medical professionals, they kind of all panicked, and they don't know how to deal with that at the Birchmount Hospital. They couldn't put a tube in my mouth. Usually that's done when you're already sleeping, but they told me, "We're gonna need your help. So we're gonna actually intubate you while you're awake." I'm like, "Okay." So they did all this procedure. They numbed my mouth. They had to do all this weird things to numb my mouth and my tongue. And you know, this was all t taking a long time, and I can see and hear the panic in the medical professionals because they probably haven't done something like this before at Birchmount. I can hear the anesthesiologist calling for a backup anesthesiologist from another hospital. I can hear her say, talk to the nurse and say, "I want you to stand right here. If anything happens, give me this kit." I can hear all of this, but the Lord has given me the strength. I could, like, the courage to, like, go through that. And I remember the surgeon, he was so impatient because this was all taking a long time, and he probably just want to go home. And he was blaming me for being so big that this is so hard to do, that if anything happens, it's my fault. And I remember at that time, I was just so, the abandonment, the rejection I felt about my failed marriage from my husband, and like all of this was flooding my mind. But I told the Lord, "Lord, can you stand beside me?" Because I'm alone on the operating table. Everybody's when the doctor left, I'm just alone there. I said to him, "Jesus, can you stand beside me? Because they don't know what to do, but you know, can you do it for me, please?" And then as soon as I prayed that, I felt like this, my whole body was just warm, and I was just enveloped with God's love. And he was telling me, "I love you so much. You don't need to change a thing for me." You know, and then the next thing I know after that, I probably slept through a recovery room, and I woke up and I'm in my room already. And I actually had a chuckle because, and I'm alone. Nobody can go with me. It's COVID time. I actually thought like, well, I thought you guys wanted my help. Like, what was all that for? You guys gave me too much medication. Then I fell asleep. But I knew it wasn't that. I knew I got the help from the Lord that day. All throughout my, I was diagnosed with cancer on, in the summer of 2023. There was a bit of a waiting, period. People were telling me, oh, you should do this, you should do that, you should do that. But I just kept praying to the Lord, Lord, I don't want men's wisdom. I want your wisdom. So whatever you want, that's what I want. And with all the waiting, I was actually because they wanted like a head surgeon to do it because of my difficulty, my complicated intubation. And all will went well with that. Praise the Lord. That was January of last year. 2 months after my mom, so March of the same year, my mom all of a sudden had developed this pain in her stomach and she had to go gallbladder surgery. And I was with her in the hospital. I was waiting outside. I walked with her to the operating room and outside the operating room, and then I was waiting for the doctor to give me an update after her surgery. It's only the Lord's goodness that made me able to, 2 months after cancer surgery, be there to encourage my mom as she goes through her own surgery now this time. There's another one. My family, the Lord blessed us and provided that we all were able to visit Banff National Park, and it's just so incredible. The views there, it's so amazing. But my dad actually has a con of an illness, a blood condition that is very risky for him on high altitude. He it's it's a risky thing for him to be on high altitudes, but we just wanted to him to experience Banff, like, 'cause my sister and I have gone before and we just want our parents to be able to see the ma the God's majesty in the Rockies, right? So we forced him to go with us, but we were all this time praying, like, you know, Lord, please help my dad, like, it's not good for him to be on high altitude, but we're doing this and we're leaving this in your hands. And of course, there's a certain amount of anxiety in my dad because of that. So he's actually, well, in the airport, like he's pacing back and forth there. He's anxious about the flight. But he saw this blind man on a walking stick. And he said he was encouraged by that. He said, oh, I'm gonna be fine. If this blind man can fly, why can't I? Right? And it ended up that my dad and that blind man were seated together. And my dad, all we hear in the airplane is my dad laughing because they're just him and the blind man were just talking. They just enjoyed the flight. So all our care, all our worries about my dad and his condition in altitude and anxiety, my sister and I just looked at each other and praised the Lord because he hears when we ask him, when we talk to him, he hears. There was one other time. My sister and I, and I'm the only driver. We went back to Banff. It's just me and her. We can't get enough of it, so we just keep going back there. But I'm the only d driver. And let me tell you, I started driving in the Philippines. I can drive anywhere. I learned how to drive a manual car in the Philippines. I can drive anywhere, but my direction is really, really bad. Like I would get lost here in Scarborough if I'm in a neighborhood. I don't know if I'm turn going. I'm directionally challenged. But in Banff, the Lord was our GPS. In the mountains, you have no reception. And the GPS won't work when you're up there. While we were preparing for that flight, I really, really, really wanted to visit this river because There's a river. There's a river of life in heaven. Like, I just want river, and I just really wanted to go there. But you cannot search a river how to get there. There's no address, right? So, one day my sister and I were driving, and we wanted to visit this spring. It's a natural hot spring. So we got there, and then there's a hot and cold side to it. Nobody's paying attention to the cold plunge area. They just want the hot. But my sister and I love the cold. We love, it's almost therapeutic, like a cold plunge for us. So it's just me and her in that plunge, and there was a lifeguard there, a female lifeguard, and she just started chatting us up, and she asked where we are from. So we had a little chat, and she told me, "Oh, where did you park?" And so I told her where I parked. There's an east side parking, and there's a west side parking. I told her exactly where I parked the car, and she told me, "When you leave, turn right." So, okay. So she said, "When you leave, turn right." That's all she said. When we were gonna leave already, of course the GPS is not working, and in my mind I was gonna go from wherever I came from because that's the road I know already. Because there's no GPS, like I'm at the mercy of the mountains here. But she said turn right, and it was very like it's very like do this. So I did. I turned right, and only a few minutes of driving, and there's this canyon, and my sister and I were just in awe of the beauty of it all. And it was only us. It was only, there's no one ahead of us. There's no one behind us. My sister and I could have gotten into a sleeping bag and slept in the middle of the highway, and it would have been fine. It was almost like it's just for our viewing. And I kept driving, and all of a sudden, I saw a sign saying Kananaskis River. The exact river that I wanted to go to that I don't know how to get to. So I'm like, "Carissa, it's this river." So I turned. It's just me and her again there, and I cannot describe it, church. I hope all you guys can visit the Rockies one time too. But you can see the river rocks, and over there I just rededicated myself to the Lord again. I was just praying. My sister, she couldn't speak. Her worship was silent. But I was just praising. I was just, "Lord, you're so amazing. This is so good. I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. I love you." I kept saying to him that I love him. So when we left, I'm like, "Okay, we have a couple more hours drive. Let's go." And I'm paying attention because it's a winding road, and it's my sister, who called my attention. She's like, "Oh my gosh." And I'm like, "What? What is it?" And I wish I could show you the picture. But there's this mountain off. It's not very far, it's not very near as well. But it would have there's a huge bald spot that's a heart-shaped bald spot. And it was like God talking to me. "I love you too." It's like his emoji heart, in the mountain. Only God can do that. How can you see from like a very, very large scale like that to have a bald spot that pine trees are supposed to be? It's only him. It's only God who can do that. And he does this because he is present in our lives. And I'm just sharing this to you all because it testifies of God's being with us in the life of a believer, right? I'm so grateful I'm a Christian because in this day and age when everybody has their truth, their own version of the truth. It's your truth, it's my truth, right? And there's everything in between. Christianity is the only one whose God promises this. If you abide in me, I will abide in you. and you will bear much fruit. John 15:4. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Matthew 28:20. Our God doesn't require us to sacrifice our life for Him. In fact, He's the one who sacrificed His life for us. Someone once asked me before, "But Krista, how are you sure that what you believe in is the truth?" And I told the person, "Well, hundreds of thousands, even millions, can bear witness to the fact that their lives have been changed when they surrendered it to the Lord. You know, my life, my own personal life, is a testament of that. I used to worry so much. I'm so fearful. I didn't, I have my own agenda. I didn't care to consult the Lord. I didn't care if I sin. You know, I disregarded, like, it's okay. I'll just say sorry. I wasn't like this the way I am now before. I can see the change. He has made me a new creation, right? And the work that God, is something that you can qualify because of transformed lives. That's how I know what I believe in is the truth. Like the Apostle Paul is a perfect example of that. Before he was Paul, he was Saul. He persecuted a lot of Christians. But when he found the Lord, look at what a transformed person he became. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And I love that. Our God, our Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can do that. He calls us to himself and then he transforms us, and then suddenly we're a new creation. And he's able to do that because there is no sin he cannot forgive. The only unforgivable sin, according to the Bible, is the sin of unbelief. You see, the gospel demands a response from us. And what is the gospel? It is the good news that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for our sins on the cross, and he rose again, and he's victorious over death, so that there is now no condemnation, the Bible says, for those who believe, but only everlasting life. Acts 16:31, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Romans 10:9-10, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Sadly, though, there are those people who choose unbelief, and that's on them. You know, I remember watching this preaching from another pastor. Like I saw a YouTube preaching, and he was talking about, and it stayed with me because he's talking about, like, do you think in heaven there will be those who would say, "What am I doing here? I don't want to be here. What is this?" No, there's not going to be someone like that in heaven. You know, if you don't want to be there, you're not going to be there. And unfortunately, some people choose this path, right? And I don't understand why some people would do that, because the God of the Bible, he's so amazing. Like, he's just so awesome and loving and kind. And I just want to read Psalm 103, verse 13. Sorry. Psalm 103:13. And it says, "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And I love that because even as believers, we keep sinning, but he understands that. That's why he died on the cross and gave us his grace. He's expecting nothing from us but daily dependence on him. And that is the key, church, dependence on him. And I have said this before, and I'm not going to be tired saying this because this has been true for my own life. Surrendered life is the best way to live your life because he is for us. He's not against us. You know, like he loves us so much. I just want to talk to the young people here at church. I feel so old saying this. I'm not very old, but for this is my own learning for my own life too. The young people here, surrender your plans and your decisions to the Lord because he is for you. Save yourself the heartache, save yourself the pain, save yourself the wasted time, and surrender all your plans to Jesus because he's for you and he loves you so much. He's not gonna lead you in a direction that is not good for you. I think that is why I feel secure. I know how much the Lord loves me. He loves you and I, but I have it's so important for us to really know, to truly know how much the Lord loves us. Look, I'll show you. This right here, this part, he's telling us these are the commandments that I give to you. Like what Pastor said in his previous messages, the Old Testament, like the Ten Commandments, it was given for us to know that we need a savior. We can't do it on our own. This part talks about that. Now, look at all of this. Look at all of this, church. All of this talks about, I love you. You know, this is my direction for you. This is how you can be with me. This is how you can come back to me. You know, it talks about the battle is the Lord's. It talks about do not be afraid. Be of good courage because I am with you wherever you go. This talks about that. You know, it talks about though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my love for you will never be shaken, and the peace will never be removed. It talks all about that. Like, this is a love letter. That's how much he loves us. And so I just pray that we all know how much Jesus loves us because it's important. It transforms the way we live our life. I'm just gonna read on Psalm 138 verse 2, for you have magnified your word above all your name. And this is how I'm standing on his promise. God's name is so majestic. It's so high above, but he has magnified his word above all his name. That's saying something, church. He has magnified his word. So it's when he says it's something that you can really stand on. That's how I know when the Bible says something, I can take God for his word. And I just want to read Hebrews. Clearly, Pastor, I'm not I should prepare the passages beforehand. But yeah, okay. On Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. This is so profound to me. Oh. Okay, verse 13, Hebrews 6 says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself." God did this. There's no one greater than him. So he swore by himself. He did this, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you." So we can take God for his word because he cannot lie. He swore by himself an oath. So I just want us all to stand in his promises. It's really gonna help you, church. I can't stress that enough. He's able to take it. Lord, you said in your word, don't worry. Okay, that's what I'm gonna do, Lord. Lord, you said your battle is yours. Okay, take it, Lord. He can do that. With all the majesty and power, I'm just astonished by this because with all his majesty and power, his holiness, our God is the creator of heaven and earth. Yet what he desires, what he longs for is a relationship with us. I'm just so blessed by that. And I love him back. I love him back so much. And when you love someone, you want to please them. Right, you want to do whatever would make their heart tickle. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. And with everything that I have gone through in my personal life, with everything God has shown me and everything he's working in me still, in the end, I don't want him to say, "Oh, you of little faith, why are you so afraid?" I don't want to hear that from the Lord. May none of us have that assessment from our Lord. And I love this mic drop moment in Revelation. To me, it's like that's it, you know? And it says in here, but so the Lord laid his hand, his right hand on me, saying, this is John talking, who this was revealed to John. And Jesus said to him, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen." And I just love that Jesus is alive forevermore. And the future that he has prepared for the believer, the Bible says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, no human heart conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. I just want you to be encouraged that, and I know many of you and you guys are just not sharing it. But I know many of you have your own trials, your own difficult circumstances you're going through. But surrender your battles to him. This life is not the end of it for the believer. And I'm gonna end with just one more story to share. Actually, I'm gonna end with a song. Hopefully, you are blessed by it. And I want to thank Ashok so much. I gave him the song like late Friday, and he helped me prepare it today. Thank you so much, Ashok. I just pray the Lord strengthen you and bless you. I know you have no sleep, and you came to church to help us in the media. The Lord bless you. Thanks, Ashok. But yeah, when I remember when I was having marital issues already, and then I had spinal surgery. I couldn't go. I had no job. I couldn't. My family showers me. They turn me on the bed, and my husband like abandoned me. Well, in the middle of that, I was just there's just this moment in the room, and I was just crying to the Lord, Lord. What am I gonna do? Like, how am I gonna do this? Like, I it's help, Lord. Like, I was just communicating to him in my spirit, and God, like, in that desperate moment, because I remember, because after spinal surgery, I developed this excruciating nerve pain because my spine was compressed for a while, and then they released it. So all of a sudden, all these signals, my body couldn't handle it, and it was extremely painful. I was already on narcotics, but I still couldn't deal with it, right? But when my husband abandoned me, that pain and that heartache, there's just no medication to take that away. That the rejection I felt, I actually would prefer the nerve pain, even how excruciating that was. I actually would prefer that because I just take medication and I would fall asleep. But the heartache, I couldn't escape it. It was so difficult. That was a very tough time for me, and I'd choose the nerve pain over the heartache at that time, right? But at that time, I was just talking to the Lord, and God spoke to my spirit, and He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, and you will see my power through your weakness." And then I was in the room, and I went like this, like I went like that in my Bible, right? And it landed on Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And my eyes were directed to these passages. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Does that say some of them? Does that say only a handful of them? No, it says out of them all. And then right beside that, how it's laid out in my Bible, so my eye landed here, and then right beside that, I was directed to this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Have you, church, placed your trust in Jesus Christ? Are you covered by the blood of the Lamb? I read a portion of Revelation. I love Revelation. Did you know, just a side note, did you know Revelation is the only book in the Bible that promises a blessing to the one reading it? So, and I believe that it's written to prepare us and not to scare us. Because if we only know, like if we understand the end of it, the end of it all for the believer, right? And Revelation, like the end of Revelation, talks about books being opened, the book of life. And the book of life lists everyone who has been given breath in this earth. Everyone who has been born, they are in the book of life. But is your name in the Lamb's book of life? Because the ones who are written in the Lamb's book of life, those are the ones that spend with him. There's no more night there. And the Lamb is the light, it says. You know, if you haven't done that, tomorrow is not promised. And you have everything to gain by surrendering your life to Jesus. You know, I'm so grateful. I am His. And I pray that you all will have your own. I encourage you all. I know the Lord is working in all your lives. I encourage you to tell your stories too. Bless us with how the Lord is working in your lives as well. And I just want to give him praise and thanks this morning. May all the glory be his. now and forevermore. And I'm just gonna share this song to you guys. The Lord made me hear this when I was so desperate. I couldn't sleep because of all my troubles. I couldn't sleep. I don't know what to do. Like, I'm so fearful. And then this song came to me, and I just want to end with this song. I hope you're blessed by it as well. We pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each broken knee, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness. We doubt your love. As if every promise from your word is not enough. But all the while you hear each desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this land are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know that pain reminds this heart that this is not, this is not your home. It's not Guess what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? What if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise? Amen.